This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Score evenings. Weeknight 6 till 9.
It's just execution. I mean, you know, we see him clearly has the stuff to be successful in the league. But, you know, if there's also that's a fine line, and if you're not sharp and if you're giving hitters free pitches, then you're not executing. It's difficult to survive and to get through lineups without giving up runs. You know, he did get a 17 outs today, and that was important for the bullpen, very important for the bullpen, and so there was some fight in there that was important for the team, but. You know, but he just wasn't crisp. It just wasn't crisp today in terms of, like, the execution.
Cubs manager Craig Counsell talking about today's outing by Ben Brown in a 7-2 loss to the Phillies. Rami Makhlouf with you on the Score Evening Show up until 9 o'clock. Coming up at 7:20, Jared Willis, baseball writer for CHGO Sports, will be here to talk some Cubs and some White Sox. But in that outing, Brown goes 5 2/3, 8 hits, 6 runs. And all of those earned, 3 of those coming in the first inning, which has been a problem for Ben Brown, as I talked about in the first hour of the show, and only heightens maybe the need for a starter to be added to this Cubs rotation between now and the trade deadline. How aggressive do you expect the Cubs to be between now and the trade deadline? 312-644-6767. And they are going to get Shota back first, but Justin Steele is out for the season. And outside of Tyone and Boyd, the rest of the Cubs rotation has not necessarily been something that you can rely on. Colin Ray has been good in spurts and bad in others. So if you're serious about making a deep playoff run, something is going to have to be done about this Cubs rotation at some point between now and July 31st. But how aggressive do you expect Jed Hoyer and the Cubs to be? 312-644-6767. He spoke with some of the media out in Philadelphia before today's game, and he was asked that very question with how good this team is playing, especially your position players and how well they're playing. Does that implore you to be more aggressive between now and the trade deadline?
I mean, yeah, listen, it's really early, and, you know, we talk about trades this early, but the truth is these things are going to probably all happen, like, between the draft and the deadline, so we have to continue to play well, and I think that's the most important thing. We keep playing well. But, yeah, like I said, the position playing group has been really fun to watch in all facets of the game, and you know, hopefully that continues.
So kind of a non-answer answer from Jed when asked, will you be more aggressive because of how good you've been and how good your position players have been? And I don't mind the non-answer answer there, quite frankly. I don't see it as him trying to hide something from fans that they don't have any plans to make any major additions between now and the trade deadline, but he, you know, can't just come out and say that. I think as much as anything, it's you don't want to show your hand. You don't want to show the rest of Major League Baseball how how desperate you might be to add a starting pitcher, how aggressive you want to be in the trade market, because people will see that and people will act accordingly and try to take advantage of whatever your state of mind might be if you are hyper aggressive going into the trade market. So he didn't quite say that they would be aggressive, didn't say that they wouldn't, just gave the old, yeah, we need to keep playing well. We need to stay relevant if we're gonna make some additions between now and the trade deadline. But he did just come out and say, yeah, we need some pitching here before the deadline.
Obviously, we've played really well. Our position playing group has just been outstanding, both offensively and defensively. And I think that gives some clarity. Yeah, obviously, you don't know what's going to happen over the next month and a half with that group. But I think that, you know, right now, the focus would be on adding pitching and adding pitching depth. I think that would be the clear thing. And, you know, maybe there's an upgrade, whether it's on the bench, whether, you know, it's some complimentary piece. But I think that this group, I think it is a really good group. And like I said, it's not just on offense, it's on defense as well.
Yeah, I was watching that press conference of sorts that Jed held out there in Philadelphia today. And that was a point he kept on hammering that, yeah, man, we're really good in the position player department. I don't think we're going to need to add anybody there. And I guess it's one of those things that you kind of, you know, you see, you recognize, you realize, but until somebody says it, you don't really think about it. There's not really anywhere to upgrade position player wise. Like he said, maybe a bat off the bench or some speed off the bench, that pinch runner that maybe you want in the postseason that a lot of teams like to have. But you go up and down this lineup and there's not a position where you go, yeah, man, really struggling there. Would like to add something there. Unless, you know, Miguel Amaya between now and July 31st has some sort of setback with the oblique injury that's going to cost him more time and keep him out deep into the season. I don't think you want to rely on Carson Kelly, and maybe you go looking for a catcher in that case. But Matt Shaw has really, really leveled out at third base. He's given you great defense over there. The bat has been palatable at the very least. And everywhere else you look in this Cubs lineup, you got guys who you could make a case for being an all-star this year, whether it's Ian Happ or Tucker or Suzuki or of course, PCA. You can make an argument for Bush to be a starter at first base when you look at some of the offensive numbers that he's put up compared to some of the premier first basemen in the National League. So, yeah, really nowhere to add position player-wise, which is... That's a good problem to have, that you can just not worry about that at all. But they do need to add some pitching, and he went even further to say, you know, as good as this bullpen has been of late, and it's been real good, that's an area where they might be looking to add.
They've been good. I mean, I think that the guys we've brought in have really helped, you know, like you said, stabilize. And I think some guys have gotten better as years gone. I mean, Presley's, you know, clearly throwing better. I think that's made a big difference. We've weathered, you know, not having Porter pretty well. But there's no finish line on the bullpen. We got to keep doing those things over and over. That there's going to be injuries. There's going to be guys that struggle, and you're going to need that kind of depth. So. Like very complimentary, obviously, of how those guys have pitched, but we just have to continue to look for, you know, the next group, because it is it's how baseball's played now.
Yeah, never too many arms. Never too many arms for a bullpen. It's the most volatile position in the sport. It's one of the most volatile positions in all of sports. Guys come out of nowhere and are lights out relievers. Guys completely fall off the map who were lights out relievers and never can quite find that again or find it 2 years later. It's a weird position in Major League Baseball. And so, yeah, you don't want to bank on what you got. You always should be stockpiling arms. And I don't care how good your bullpen is. Like I said, this Cubs bullpen has been very good of late, but yeah, that's every team contending this year come October is going to be looking to add some arms and specifically to their bullpen. But how aggressive do you expect the Cubs to be between now and the trade deadline? 312-644-6767. And this trade deadline, and I touched on this in the first hour, I think it's going to be a more interesting trade deadline than we've seen in quite some time in Major League Baseball, because you got a handful of teams in both the American and National League that had plans of contending and being relevant, who, if they're not already out, they might be soon, and might be by the time July 31st rolls around. The Orioles are 26-39. There's some talent on that roster. There is a boatload of talent. I don't know why they're 26-39. I don't follow the Orioles on a day-to-day basis, but that's a team that's got some talent that could be plucked if they're going to sell. Or maybe they just hold. They say, this is not our year, but we'll be back and we'll get them next year. Dude, they have a minus 91 run differential. Minus 90, that's one of the worst in baseball. And that was a team that people expected to contend there in the American League East this year. The Rangers are three games under 500 and 4.5 back in the National League West. That's a team that's got some talent and has won some ball games recently. The most interesting, you jump to the National League, you got the Braves at 29-38, 14 games back in their division. The Diamondbacks, they're sitting at 500. They just learned that Corbin Burns, their big offseason free agent signing, who, yes, I did want the Cubs to sign, is going to have Tommy John surgery. So they might be waving the white flag soon. They got a couple of pitchers who might be available in Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly, two, like, frontline pitchers. I mentioned the Braves a second ago. They got a guy who folks here in Chicago are very familiar with in Chris Sale. Do you expect the Cubs to be that aggressive between now and the trade deadline, going after guys like Gallen or Kelly or Chris Sale or the closer out there in Baltimore? 312-644-6767. I don't think that they're that aggressive. I think it's obvious that they add. You didn't have to read too hard between the lines of what Jed Hoyer was saying at his press conference today, that they're gonna make some moves. They're gonna try and bolster this roster and specifically this pitching staff. But I don't know that I'm gonna hold my breath for Gallen or for Chris Sale would be great. Merrill Kelly, any of those guys would be great. I don't know that I'm holding my breath for that though. And there's a couple reasons why. First of all, and when I first say what I'm about to say, you're going to go, well, what the hell does that have to do with this? But I think the Kyle Tucker trade plays into this. Because you gave up a lot to get that guy from your minor league system. And there's two ways that you can look at that deal. One, well, you already pushed that many chips to the center of the table in the prospects that you traded for Kyle Tucker, despite him not being under contract beyond this season and might be very hard to get under contract beyond this season. You already pushed all those chips to the table. Why not push more chips to the center of the table and really go all in on this season, even if you know it's going to fall apart in this offseason? And not completely fall apart, but if you can't retain Kyle Tucker and whoever else you might trade for between now and the trade deadline, you're looking at a very different roster next year. That's one way you could look at it. The other way you could look at it, and I think this is more likely, unless Jed Hoyer thinks he has to do something special this year to keep his job. If you're Jed Hoyer and you're looking at the long term of this, I already gave up a lot of my farm system to go and get a Kyle Tucker. To get a Chris Sale or a Zach Gallen or a Merrill Kelly, not as much as you had to give up for Kyle Tucker, especially it being a trade deadline move and these guys' contractual situations being what they're being. But do I really want to invest that much more of my farm system for what might be like kind of a one-off year with Kyle Tucker? Or do I want to hang on to those guys because I'm going to need people to come up from my system and offset the loss of Kyle Tucker here in the coming seasons? not replace him. Nobody's going to come up and replace him, but offset it between whatever package that you're going to give up of pitchers and position players that they would soon hopefully be ready to come up here and contribute and offset that type of loss. I think you're more likely to look at it that way, and especially, and this is the other reason why I think they won't be quite as aggressive as going after a Chris Sale. You look at what this Cubs organization, I was about to say team, but really it's organizationally, what they've been able to do with pitchers and the magic that they've been able to work with pitchers. I think that it's more likely that they're looking for a Jameson Taillon type or a Matthew Boyd type where they go, that guy is pitching pretty good right now, but we think there is more there and he could be really good if we get him in the building and do X, Y, and Z with him. I think that's more likely what they're looking at a lower cost and giving up less from that farm system that, like I said, you already paid a pretty heavy price from by going and getting Kyle Tucker in the offseason. That's what I think is more likely to happen. But how about you? How aggressive do you expect the Cubs to be between now and the trade deadline? 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Lombard. And Jeff, you're on 670 The Score. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how's it going? Hey,
Great.
Got in the car late. I was just asking the question. Ben Brown, they gave him one bullpen start, and he was lights out when he came in the second inning, and then they went back to him starting, which has been his problem all along, is giving up the runs in the first inning. Did he address that? Or I don't understand why they got away from that formula, because he was great in that one bullpen start he was in.
He really was.
Listen for it.
I appreciate the call. And he was very good in his following start against Detroit. I was about to say, I don't know if that's like a tenable situation and something you can keep going to, but until something is figured out, whether it's unlocking Ben Brown or whatever is the problem in the first inning or replacing Ben Brown with somebody in the rotation, I don't know why that wouldn't be something that you could do, a tenable situation to go with the opener. I don't know. I don't know why he went away from that. Now, it looked like they did it one time and maybe, you know, Ben Brown got out of his own head about it and came out the next time against Detroit, and Craig was thinking, all right, everything's good, fixed. This first inning problem, not a problem anymore. And then it reared its ugly head again today. Here's a text from the 708. I'm kind of rooting for the Yankees, which I never do, but I'd love to see the Jays become sellers and see Gausman here on the north side. That's another team. There are a lot of teams up and down the standings. Well, not up and down the standings. At the bottom of the standings, no matter which division you look at, who, like I said, we're expecting to compete this year and have rosters that reflect that and have quality players that will be picked and plucked by the contenders in Major League Baseball. Dude, the Royals are only a game over 500 and 9.5 out in the AL Central. That's a team that's got some talent. The A's are always bad, but somehow they always got some young talent there that could be plucked for, you know, real Major League Baseball teams around the country. Maybe we get back into this a little later in the show, and I'll definitely talk about it some more with my guest coming up next, baseball writer for CHGO Sports. Jared Willis joins me, Rami Makhlouf, on the Score Evening Show right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Just a baseball series. There's the middle game, or the first game of the series was a back and forth one. Obviously, it could have gone either way, but we ended up with 1-2.
It's Craig Counsell talking about the series that wrapped up with a 7-2 loss to the Phillies today, taking 2 of 3 from the Cubs, and the second straight series loss from the Cubs, coming off the Detroit series, which, by the way, very, very fun series too. Even though the Cubs lost 2 of those games and really made like some uncharacteristic mistakes on the base paths that might have cost them one of those games, that was just two very good baseball teams going at each other, and I enjoyed that. Hoping to talk some baseball with Jared Willis of CHGO here in just one sec. While we wait for Jared, let me tell you that Circus Sports Illinois presents a live score broadcast tomorrow from the Lynx Golf and Sports Bar, 2116 East Grand Avenue in Lindenhurst, 2-6 with Mark Grody and yours truly, Rami Makhlouf, with special guest Bill Wennington joining us from 4 until 6 p.m. You want to see me look real short, like even shorter than I normally look? Come on out and see me stand next to Bill Wennington tomorrow at the Lynx Golf and Sports Bar. Take in the first round of action from Oakmont. And while you're on site, download and fund the Circus Sports Illinois app to receive a matchback incentive of up to $500 directly into your account, and take your swing at $5,000 with a hole-in-one contest from the Lynx. That's tomorrow from the Lynx Golf and Sports Bar. Come hang out with myself and Mark Grody and Bill Wennington from 2 until 6. I head out now to the Circus Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Download the Circus Sports app today and punch up. Baseball writer for CHGO Sports, and you can follow him on Twitter at Jay Willis. It's Jared Willis. Jared, how are you this afternoon, my man?
I'm doing well. Excited to talk some baseball with you.
I am excited to talk baseball as well. I'm going to ask you the question I asked to start the show, but put the same disclaimer I put on it when I asked the listening audience, because I don't want it to come off as I'm trying to induce panic or be an alarmist or anything like that. Through the prism of evaluating this Cubs team as what we hope is a playoff team and a team that can make a deep playoff run, any concern creeping in about the offense, who has scored 3 or less runs in 4 of their last 6 and 9 of their last 15? Jared.
Yeah, I think it's fair to keep an eye out for whether or not this is a trend, because especially because this is an offense that was so you know, going so much the other way for a good chunk of the season to start out, you know, an offense that we've seen described as relentless, that now having faced some tougher teams, some tougher competition where they seem to have gone a little bit quiet for a couple of series here, I think it's fair to like raise an eyebrow at it and make note of it. But I think just in the still very small sample size of, you know, a couple of series, a week and a half worth of games, I think it's still okay to retain some optimism about this offense.
Did you think there was just some regression to come given how good they were hitting the baseball, or do you think this is more an aberration, or maybe a little bit of both?
Yeah, honestly, it really strikes me as a little bit of both, because you do have some guys that in that lineup that were just, I mean, they were hitting at unsustainable levels. You know, Carson Kelly wasn't going to hit the way that he was to start out the season, so that's like a normal regression. You have certain guys that are kind of naturally a little bit hot and cold. Say a Suzuki can be that way. Ian Happ can be that way to some extent. So you have a little bit of that too. But yeah, there's also just these natural ebbs and flows in the season where a team's just going to have a stretch where it's like they're putting up at least a touchdown every game. And then, you know, and then like what we're seeing right now.
The question I think on a lot of people's minds, and he was out of the lineup for the first time today, I think it goes back to PCA, who's very much, him along with Kyle Tucker, been sort of the straw that stirs this drink. And I've heard Jed Hoyer, I've heard Craig Counsell, I've heard Alex Cohen, who watched him in the minor leagues, all say, we knew this guy was good, but this power, that's something that we did not see. That's caught us a little bit by surprise. Do you think that the power is something real from PCA, or do you think that's something we should expect to maybe cool off a little bit?
I do. I hate to, like, you know, throw some cold water on things.
Sure.
But yeah, that is the kind of thing that strikes me, is he's not going to sustain that kind of production throughout the course of the season, because that's just not really been his hitting profile. So I do expect we'll start to see the power numbers for him dip a little bit, because he wasn't going to keep just, you know, slugging homers like he had been. So that's another thing too, that I think it kind of adds to what we're seeing run production wise for the team as a whole. So when you have somebody like PCA who is still going to be a good hitter, but isn't going to hit as many home runs, that it's going to drop your run total a little bit. It's bound to happen, but yeah, you know, as much as I'd love to see the guy put up like a, you know, a 40-40 season or something, it's just I don't think he has it in him.
Talking with Jared Willis, covering baseball for the guys over there at CHGO Sports here on the Score Evening Show. The other thing we saw today that's been a trend, we're talking about the offense and a trend, Ben Brown and his first inning struggles. 3 allowed in the first inning today. I think that's 14 runs now allowed in the first inning for him, a 10.5 ERA in that inning. What do you make of that, Jared? Like, how do you explain a guy having that type of trouble with just the first inning?
So what's interesting is, like, he has described it almost as like he, you know, most guys need to get kind of pumped up or hyped up to go into the game. And he's described it as almost like he needs the opposite, where he gets so pumped up that he gets out there in the first inning and he said it. He's like, you know, I'm overthrowing a little bit, which leads to a lot of like missing the zone and those kinds of things, which is, you know, some of what we saw in today's start. Because he told me once, we were just, you know, chatting at his locker kind of informally, and he said, you know, when he was a kid, he would get so excited before games that he would like throw up, because he was just like, the adrenaline was so high. So he's like, I'm, you know, that if that's the kind of where he's operating from, it sort of makes sense that it's not necessarily an execution thing. It's he's going out there and he's so pumped up in that first inning, it's almost like he has to dial it back somehow, because you do see where after the first inning or so, typically he looks a lot better. And really, I think that's a lot of what's going on. So that's why we've seen Craig Counsell use an opener with him here lately, where, you know, you kind of get through that first inning and get him over that mental hump a little bit. But I do think it's the kind of thing where he's got to work on and figure out how to manage that himself, so that they don't have to do something like use an opener for every one of his starts.
Yeah, that leads me right to my next question, Jared, which is put yourself in Craig Counsell's shoes, or his three quarter zip up that he likes to wear. If you're Craig Counsell, do you just go to the opener for Ben Brown starts until further notice, or is that not a sustainable type of situation for a pitching staff?
I think, you know, in isolation, I think it's a great idea because we have seen it work beautifully. But I think the problem that you run into, and Counsell has talked about this, is being able to use an opener is so much contingent on kind of what happened the day before or the 2 days before, how he had to use his bullpen, who's available, whether or not they match up with those first three hitters in the other lineup the way that he wants them to. Because it kind of takes a guy out of his bullpen the day before. But if something happens where he has to use that guy, then it changes the plans. And so it's something that I'm sure unofficially he might say, yeah, I'm going to try to do that as much as I can. But you sort of have to take that as it comes.
Talking with Jared Willis of CHGO Sports. Going to talk some White Sox here in just a second. Before I switch gears and do that, though, Jared, before I brought you on, I was talking about the Cubs and how aggressive folks should expect them to be between now and the trade deadline. Names like Chris Sale and Zach Gallen being thrown around. I think it's more likely they try and find the next Matthew Boyd or the next Jameson Taillon, the guy who is good now, but they feel like they could unlock and get a little bit more out of him, rather than give up the type of capital that it would take to go and get a Chris Sale or one of those guys I mentioned. How aggressive do you think the Cubs will be, or how willing do you think they'll be to spend in between now and the trade deadline in terms of the prospects they'll give up?
Yeah, I think it's more likely to be the second situation that you described, where because they have had so much success with the guys like, you know, Taillon or Colin Ray or Matthew Boyd, where they do a really great job of identifying these guys who maybe look like they peaked a few years ago, but they're still able to tap into something, or somebody whose potential has never fully been realized, and then they're able to, you know, to figure something out with. They've had so much success with that to me is the path this season, is identifying those kinds of pitchers so that they don't have to cut into their farm system, you know, nearly as much as you would have to otherwise if you're going to go after a Zach Gallen or a Chris Sale or something like that, because that's going to command a lot prospect-wise. So I do expect them to see them go that second route.
Do you think a bona fide closer is something that they'd be looking at? If there's a big name or a big type of player that they'd be good, do you think it's that closer for the ninth inning?
I do, just because it has been, as you know, as we've seen, it's been another season of, it's sort of a bumpy road when you get to the ninth inning, because you'll have games where Palencia looks fantastic, or Hodge before he got hurt looked really solid. But then also, like, where things really go awry, so much so that you don't feel like there's not somebody on that in that bullpen now that I would say, yes, that's the guy. So I do think that's something, along with a starting pitcher, that they're going to have to go after.
Talking with Jared Willis of CHGO for a few more minutes here, and don't look now, but on the other side of town, you got a baseball team that's playing winning baseball, and we started this discussion off talking about the Cubs' offense and sputtering a little bit. I'm looking at four wins in their last five games, and I see 8 runs, 7 runs, 4 runs, 5 runs in this little stretch here. What's been different for this White Sox offense here in this last handful of games?
Yeah, I mean, they are really looking like a White Sox team that we haven't seen in a while. And I think a lot of that has to do with some of these young guys that are in that lineup. Chase Mydroth has really, really been impressive at the plate. And you have him hitting well, you know, Edgar Caro, who's had stretches of looking really strong at the plate. Miguel Vargas looks like they've tapped into something with him. You know, hitting for some more power, and of course, you know, a lot more average than he was last season. So I look at like guys like those three, but then also, you know, when you have somebody like Mike Tauchman, who's healthy again and who's there at the top of that lineup, he also is getting things started in that leadoff spot in a way that the White Sox haven't had you know, in a little while either. So I do think it boils down to you get these young hitters up and they're producing, but then on at the same time, somebody like Tauchman, who is a veteran, is doing what we know he can do, and it all is adding up really nicely.
I saw yesterday they called up one of their top prospects, and this trickle of prospects that the White Sox have been calling up, the latest being Grant Taylor. What should the folks expect? What kind of pitcher are they getting in Grant Taylor coming up to the big league club, Jared?
I mean, he's an exciting guy to see because, you know, obviously there's the velocity, and that's always, you see somebody who can regularly hit triple digits. That's fantastic. But at the same time, somebody who can do that and is locating the way that he does. Because you look at some of the numbers that he was putting up, granted it was in double A, but this is a guy who doesn't put a lot of people on base. He's not giving up a lot of base runners, pounding the zone and doing so with some serious velocity. He's going to be a very exciting guy to follow here, you know, over the course of this season, just to see how they use him. Because I think his potential is in a few different directions for sure.
Could this Sox team be fun for the remainder of this year, Jared? I'm not asking for contender. Could they be fun, though? Could they give us some fun baseball on the South Side?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, like I said, there's some guys that are legitimately like, this looks like pieces of your future. And so it's fun to watch to see what they're going to do. And they've shown that they can hang in there with some good teams. They're not going to go out there and just necessarily get pounded all the time. So yeah, their record at the end of the season may not be all that great when you look at it, you know, just that number by itself, but just the vibe of this team is a lot different this year than what it was in 2024.
That's Jared Willis, baseball writer for CHGO Sports. Follow him on Twitter, @JWillis, for all the latest on your Cubs and your Sox. And my guest for the last few minutes here on the Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Download the Circus Sports app today. Jared, really appreciate the time and the insight. Great stuff, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
There's Jared Willis. Yeah, I think the White Sox could be fun, at least on some days. You know what I mean? Which wasn't something we could say last year. There were, I want to say, no fun days on the South Side for baseball fans last year.
They've upgraded from suck out loud to just suck.
Yeah.
I think that there's a slightly less level of sucking happening.
That's an improvement. Baby
steps. There's noticeable,
man.
Improvement. There's exactly. Noticeable improvement.
Baby steps. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, somebody loves Aaron Rodgers. Somebody else does not. We'll tell you what we're talking about right after this. Robbie Maklouf, Score Evenings on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Interesting, the amount of power that people think that I have.
I really don't like him. That was just five words, right? It's interesting. No, it was like seven words. And just that alone made me go, ugh, God, that guy. We're going to talk about that guy in just 1 second, but breaking news on the score of sorts, and breaking news on the score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. The Knicks continue their tour of asking to talk to other teams' head coaches, only to be told no. And the latest, your Chicago Bulls. The Knicks, according to Casey Johnson, requested permission to speak to Billy Donovan, but were denied by the Chicago Bulls. And that's a good decision. I agree with that decision on the Bulls' part. Billy Donovan is probably the best thing the Bulls got going. Unless you were going to get, like, could we trade Billy Donovan in a tank effort? What are we getting in return for Billy Donovan from the New York Knicks? Because they don't have a high first-round pick. If we could get a high first-round pick.
Can we get Jalen Brunson?
I don't think they're giving up Jalen Brunson.
I think that's a fair trade.
Or Cat. I don't think we're getting either one of those two guys. But if they had an attractive package to offer in exchange for Billy Donovan, okay, let's talk. But otherwise, no, we're going to hold on to that guy.
Legitimate question, can you trade coaches in the NBA?
I think so. I'm not sure.
I would imagine so, right?
I'm not sure. I've seen it done in baseball and football. I can't remember a NBA coach ever being traded, but the Knicks seem to have fired Tom Thibodeau with no real plan. Like, you fire a guy who won 50 games and made it to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time that your organization has made it there in 25 years. A guy who got the most out of Jalen Brunson and Cat and the rest of that roster. You would think you fire him and you're like, oh, we got a plan. They've now asked, let me see if I can remember all the teams. They asked the Timberwolves if they could talk to Chris Finch. They asked the Mavs if they could talk to Jason Kidd. Oh, there was one more that I'm forgetting. And now they asked the Bulls if they could talk to Billy Donovan. And no, you can't talk to Billy Donovan. That's our head coach, and he's staying that way. Coming out of the break, you heard regrettably, you heard the voice of Aaron Rodgers, who is now the Steelers' starting quarterback after he agreed to a deal last week that we all knew was going to happen for months, but he just needed people to talk about him and ask him, what will you do? What will you do, Aaron? Are you coming back? Are you going to be a Steeler? What are you going to do, Aaron? And we did. We asked him that for months, and he finally signed the deal with the Steelers. And now he's in Steelers camp, and he's talking to the assembled media in Steelers camp, and a very astute reporter noticed a ring on his finger, a little ringy ding ding on his finger there, on his ring finger on his left hand, and asked a question that you ask when you notice that ring on somebody for the first time. Are you married?
About the ring on your left ring finger, is that an aura ring or anything else? That wedding ring?
Yeah, it's a wedding ring.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How long ago?
It's been a couple months.
Aaron Rodgers got married without anybody knowing a couple months ago. Good for him. Congratulations to the happy newlyweds. Wishing you all the best. And I mean that. Even though I just said I don't like Aaron Rodgers, I just mean that in a football sense. He annoys me. But beautiful. I'm glad he found love. And whoever he's marrying found love. And I wish them all the best. It's funny that the reporter asked him if that was an Aura ring, because Adam, I don't know if you heard a couple weeks ago, I was doing the midday show with Layla, and as part of the Five on It segment, I asked, how necessary is it a guy wear a suit for a wedding? Because I don't like wearing a suit. I don't think I look good in a suit, but I'm wearing one after fierce negotiations between me and the fiance. Which started with me asking if I could wear shorts as part of my suit, and no, I didn't win that battle, but I did win the battle of wearing Jordans and no tie. So you see, we met in the middle, but I did
that's
also
called a compromise.
Exactly, that's what good relationships are built on. I also was like, hey, I'm not a jewelry guy. I find it's annoying to me. I don't like having something around my wrist. I don't like having something around my neck, on my fingers. I don't like it. It's an uncomfortable feeling for me. And so I said, if I'm gonna wear a ring, why not that ring be functional? Why not that ring actually perform some kind of service, do something useful? And I'm a man who's getting to a certain age, you know, where anything could happen on any given day. And they got like Apple Watches, they have these Aura rings that they measure all your vitals. You know, it tells you your blood rate, your blood pressure, your heart rate, your oxygen levels, all that stuff. I was like, why don't I get an Aura ring as my wedding ring instead of just a regular ring? And shot down, which I don't understand. She was like, you want that as your wedding rings? It's a ring. But why does it have to be a certain like thing? Why does the ring have to be a certain thing that for it to be a wedding, it can't be functional? A wedding ring can't serve a purpose? It's got to be this pointless piece of, I don't even know what kind of steel or metal I ended up settling on to put around my finger. It's got to be useless. That's the criteria for a wedding ring, is that it's got to be useless. I don't understand. We just do things just because that's how we've always done them. But we're stuck in these cycles in society. If I'm going to wear a ring, why not that ring be something useful and functional? But I digress. Congratulations to Aaron Rodgers and his now wife, who I guess he told the Pat McAfee show a couple months ago he was dating someone named Brittany with an I. And
Brittany with an I at the end of the name, I'm assuming? Because the I would be assumed after B-R-I, right?
Yes, so. Brittany at the end. So B-R-I-T-T-A-N-I.
Why does that not surprise me? It's fine, spell your name however you want, but of course it's someone that doesn't spell their name the way that you would think it would be spelled. By the way, I want to clean something up. It is possible to trade coaches in the NBA. Jason Kidd was traded from the Nets
right.
to the Bucks, remember?
That's right. I forgot about it. I was working in Milwaukee when that happened, and I forgot all about that. Thank you, Adam Studzinski, for clarifying. But yes, Brittany with an I. We don't know if Brittany with an I is his now eventual bride, who he married here in the last couple of months. He didn't say who he married. He didn't say if he and Brittany were still together. Just the last we know of Aaron Rodgers' relationship life, he was dating Brittany with an I, and sometime in the last couple of months, he got married to somebody who may or may not be Brittany with an I. One guy who is not marrying Aaron Rodgers is Myles Garrett, who is now in the same division as Aaron Rodgers and those Pittsburgh Steelers, and he was asked about playing Rodgers twice a year.
What do I think about it?
Face him twice a year.
I think it's a good opportunity to put him in the graveyard.
Mmm. Oh, I like that. Yeah. Now I kind of want to marry Myles Garrett. You know what I mean? I suddenly have a deep affection for Myles Garrett. You don't hear guys talk like that anymore in the NFL, do you? Talking about putting a guy in the grave? I like it.
Put him in the graveyard.
I like it. And not just because it's Aaron Rodgers who gets under my skin, but I like that. I like that in football. Talking about putting guys in, now I don't want anybody put in a grave, but it's like
Shamar Turner when he was drafted by the Bears and he talked about killing people and taking their lunch money? Yeah. More of that. That's the mentality I want for my football players. Let a quick break. And on the other side, we will keep with the football talk. And we'll talk with Alex Shapiro from CHSN covering the Bears. We'll get all his takeaways from all the OTAs and mini camps of this offseason. He's coming up next with me, Rami Makhlouf, on the Score Evening Show.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.